not to just think, oh, it's a three-day weekend. We know it's more than that, and we don't want to take that for granted. So let's make sure to take time to pray for the families who grieve, for their loved ones who they released, who sacrificed for our freedom. This Memorial Day used to be called Decoration Day. It's a day of remembrance for those who have died in our nation's service. And we cannot. So many do. Many have forgotten. Let's just pray. Father, we are asked that you would comfort those families who have been touched by the loss of a loved one as they have served our country. That you would strengthen those families. That you would strengthen those who still struggle from the effects of war and service. And that you would give them strength. Father, help us to always to be appreciative of their sacrifice as we are of the sacrifice of Jesus. And so it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. We've been talking about having unity as Jesus prayed, and we have unity when we are in Him and when we treat one another as He wants us to. Last week we focused on accepting one another, which means welcoming one another. Today I want us to see how to be kind and compassionate to one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Terry already read it. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So be compassionate, be tender-hearted, be sympathetic toward one another. I mean, having compassion means that we walk a mile in someone else's shoes. We identify with other people and the road that they have traveled. Have you ever been hard on somebody in a situation, go, well, I'd never do that, or I'd never react like that. And then you're in a similar situation, and you go, oh, I understand. I will do differently next time. Well, let's just do differently the first time, to be kind and compassionate to people as they walk through different struggles in their life. Not only to be compassionate to them, but let's walk with them in a compassionate way, to be right there beside them. You know anybody that's struggling? Anybody that's suffering? Anybody that needs some kindness and compassion that you can be with and give and walk along with them? If no one comes to mind, then go find somebody to share your love with, to share your compassion with. There's plenty of people out there, but sometimes we put on the blinders because we don't want to have to deal with them. We just, we laser-like focus. Find somebody, stretch out that peripheral vision and see people who are hurting. Give them compassion and kindness. Maybe there's somebody that's driving you crazy. Well, you can show them kindness and compassion also. Even the most irritating of people need more compassion and kindness. Because you don't know for sure what they're walking through and what their struggles are and what that outgrowth is, to be compassionate and kind to them. Obviously, you know that Sarah's been in the hospital this past week and just got home yesterday. And every time that Sarah's in the hospital, there's always an outpouring of compassion for her and the rest of us. And obviously, we appreciate that very much. So we not only experience compassion and kindness from you, our family, but even from the medical community. And having doctors, several doctors this week, go above and beyond their call of duty to really help us out. I mean, with the concern of Julia and her pregnancy with the baby and being exposed to chickenpox, we were on the phone with our pediatrician. She was out of town, but the Websters have her cell phone number, and she's working with us. One of the other doctors at the hospital had a colleague at another hospital, was going to take Julia on as a patient with never seeing her to get the proper blood work so she could get a proper shot if she needed it based upon the blood work. And, it just brings you to tears when people go above and beyond to show that compassion and that kindness where they wouldn't have to. They go, well, we can't do that. We're not going to do that. And so, that's an example for us to go above and beyond what people expect. In the area of compassion. And shouldn't we as Christians always be seen as going above and beyond in the area of kindness and in the area of compassion? The chandelier is, if you hadn't seen it, anybody not notice it? The chandelier represents compassion. Why? Because five other girls with a Sweet 16 ball decided that, hey, we're not going to have our Sweet 16 ball without Sarah. What compassion. They didn't have to put their lives on hold for Sarah, but they did. Compassion. Kindness. Now what we need to do is to pray that no one else gets sick when it's been rescheduled to. So compassion, and we need to give that compassion and share that compassion with one another. Allow that to be seen and to be known. The other word that Paul uses there is kind. Now, kind has a little deeper meaning in the Greek than what we just think of kind or being polite or something like that. But being kind is being useful, being good, and serving. And so it's not just a nice attitude, it's actually a service, kind of an employment that you are useful in your being. And so we need to be kind to each other, useful, helpful, as well as polite and nice in that way. So our kindness is shown in how we help others, how we help each other. Well, when we arrived at Children's Hospital at 2:30 or so in the morning, Monday morning, we were greeted by a rude, not very kind, security guard. I'm like, really? Yeah, you think we want to be here? But I think I know why she's kind of on the night shift. I think she's the rudest person we've ever met at Children's Hospital because everybody is always top quality down there. Man, all I needed at 2:30 in the morning was a little kindness, a little understanding, a little compassion. Not for her to, bristle up and have to tell me where to go while we're sitting there waiting on a charge nurse to come and take us up to CICU. I wasn't having a great day, and she may not have been having a great day either, but I didn't treat her rudely, and she didn't need to do the same to me. So I guess what I'm saying is it doesn't matter what kind of day you're having. You're kind and you're compassionate anyway. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." We talked about that last week. Do to others as you would have them do unto you. Give that kindness and the compassion that you would want, even if you're having a bad day, no matter what struggle you're going through, that you give that to others. It doesn't matter what the situation is going on around or in your life. Let me be blunt. Get over yourself and do what Jesus expects. I can say that to you as Christians. Get over yourself. Don't want to hear it. Do what's right. Because you're a Christian. Because Jesus expects that. Jesus demands that from us. So compassion, kindness. And kindness, it becomes very powerful when people experience it, that they want to give that back. And they want to be appreciative of that. I was real touched this past month when I received the IDES newsletter. And I'm glad that we can support missions like that as they help people all around the world in times of need. IDES had supplied food to 17 villages in Kenya through one of our missions. And one of the villages, after this kind act of food, invited that missionary group who had never been able to get into that village to come into that village and to preach Jesus. From a simple act of kindness of giving food, caring for them, and then they invited them in. Another village, several of the village elders walked an entire day to come and to say thank you for that act of kindness. Wow. And this picture, it was amazing. Now, I know it's not the greatest quality because it's a photo of a photo. But these kids are in the back of a truck gathering every kernel so no kernel goes to waste. They're appreciative of the kindness and they don't want any of it wasted. Powerful. I mean, kindness and compassion goes a long way, right? You've experienced kindness, you've experienced compassion, and it's powerful. It's also powerful if you give the kindness and the compassion. And maybe we don't always see the appreciation or the impact, but we know it's there because we are impacted by it, therefore others are impacted by ours. And so Christ tells us to be kind and compassionate. And you may go, well, I'm pretty kind, I'm pretty compassionate. Good. Keep it up. I expect that. But let's grow in that. Let's be even more. Let's be better. More powerful in our kindness and our compassion. Well, how can we be kind and compassionate? Ephesians 2, chapter 6 tells us, because Jesus showed us kindness first. We love because He first loved us. We are kind because He was first kind to us. Ephesians 2, 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God expressed His kindness by sending Jesus. God just wasn't being polite to us and said something nice to us. He served us, He helped us by sending Jesus. So how can you express your kindness? How can you serve in your kindness to others? I mean, God didn't have to show us kindness, but He wanted to. We didn't deserve it, but He gave it to us anyway. And that shows how much He loves us. And that needs to be how we, through our kindness, in serving others in kindness, show them how much we care and how much we appreciate what God has done for us. And we're passing that along. So how can we show this kindness and compassion? Well, the context tells us that we need to do it through forgiving. To be kind and compassionate to those who are kind and compassionate to you is easy. But that's not the context of the Ephesian passage. But let's first look at Matthew chapter 5 and what Jesus says. I mean, we can be kind and compassionate to one another, but no big deal. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." It's easy to be nice to those who are nice, compassionate to those who give you compassion. It's easy to be kind to those who are kind to you. But what about the others? Those who persecute, those who are mean, those who are nasty, those who are rude to you, and can you still then be kind and compassionate to them? And that's the exact context of Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 is talking about forgiving those who attack you. Paul says, quit holding on to your bitterness. Get rid of the bitterness. That's God's wisdom. Get rid of bitterness. But Satan whispers in your ear, be bitter. They're mean and nasty to you. Just be bitter at them. And many people hold on to bitterness. What good has ever come from bitterness? Any good ever come from bitterness? I don't know any. Forgiveness is where the benefit comes. When we forgive, that puts us in a good position. That puts us in a good position with Christ. It puts us in a good position with one another. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, we'll just start a few verses back from where I'd read earlier. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." The opposite of being kind and compassionate is having rage and bitterness and anger and slander. When you've been angry at somebody, when you've been bitter at somebody, were you also able to be kind and compassionate? They don't mix. They don't go together. You cannot be angry and embittered towards somebody and then be kind and compassionate towards them. So we need to forgive. Forgive those who have sinned against you. Then you will be able to be kind and compassionate. But we got to get rid of the junk first. The anger, the malice, the slander, so that we can forgive, or so that we can be kind and compassionate. And that's only through forgiveness. Matthew West wrote a song several years ago. It's really hard because I can't see, the old chandelier. I can't see what's going on, so it's throwing me off a little bit. I apologize. Matthew West penned a song several years ago called Forgiveness. And he wrote that song after he heard the story of Renee, a mom whose daughter was killed in a drunk driving accident. A drunk driver ran into her and her friend and killed her daughter, 20-year-old daughter. And Renee had a lot of bitterness, obviously, as a result of this loss. And even after the drunk driver was sentenced to prison, she still had a lot of anger and bitterness. The sentencing didn't, when he got his just due, that didn't go away for her. She decided eventually to visit Eric. And when she visited him, she forgave him. Then she experienced freedom. Today, she and Eric tour around the country speaking about the dangers of drunk driving. Renee has said that she can't forget, obviously, but she has forgiven Eric Smallridge for killing her child. She said, "I could be angry, hateful, and bitter, but I didn't want to live my life that way. There was no way I could move on and live a happy life without forgiving Eric." And so that's what she did. So Renee Napier has said, through that forgiveness, she has grown to love Eric and even sees him as her own son. That's a lot of forgiveness. It's a lot of love. But that's what we should do. Because living in the prison of bitterness doesn't help us. And it really doesn't hurt the other person. It only hurts us. And so God's solution is forgiveness. So that we can forgive because we have been forgiven. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Few of us have to or have ever had to forgive as much as Renee. But if Renee can forgive and give kindness and compassion, we can as well. No matter the degree, the severity of what we think, what we need to forgive of the other person. It may not be easy, but forgiveness is always possible. I'd shared this a couple of weeks ago in Wednesday Bible study. As we was talking about forgiveness. Vicki and I met with the doctor that had misdiagnosed Michael just hours before he went into cardiac arrest and died. And we met with him and one of the other doctors and forgave him and let him know that we did not hold any bitterness or hold him hold anything against him when that happened. Now, some people said, "Oh, sue him." Well, what good would suing somebody do? It doesn't bring Michael back. But able to forgive, allowed us to be in a place of peace in the midst of grief. So it doesn't matter how difficult the loss, how difficult the situation. We can work through forgiveness, whatever that is. Whomever you have bitterness toward, or who you have anger toward, or no matter how bad somebody has hurt you or hurt your family, we have got to find a way through the power of God to forgive. Because He has forgiven, and we can forgive as well. We have to forgive. Now, you've forgiven people. Is there anybody you haven't forgiven? Is there anybody you need to work on forgiving? To wake up every day, if you have to, and say, "Dear God, give me the strength to forgive so-and-so for their act against me and my family." And then the next day, say the same prayer. Until the point where you don't have bitterness and anger towards that person, till you can pray, "Lord, bless that person. Allow them to come to know you, or bless them in their life where all you want for them is goodness, not punishment and destruction." I think that's one of the easiest ways to know, have we forgiven somebody or not? We don't want them to be punished what they deserve. We want them to get something they don't deserve, a blessing from Almighty God. We see in Acts chapter 7 an example of this with Stephen. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed. Can you imagine being stoned? Being pelted with boulders of rocks coming at your body and your head, and praying this prayer, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And then he fell asleep. That is the example of forgiveness that we can, because Jesus did the same thing as he was hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. We can offer others forgiveness, even in the midst of while they're hurting us. And we need to do that. Or maybe it's been years and we've been holding on to that bitterness. We need to forgive. Because if we don't forgive, and if we hold bitterness and anger and malice towards other people, there is no way for us to be kind and compassionate as Christ asks us to be. We can forgive because Jesus forgave us. We can forgive because we have experienced the kindness of God. Each one of us is a sinner, and our sin put Jesus on the cross. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, he's talking about you. He's talking about me. Now, we didn't kill Jesus because we were drunk on alcohol. We killed Jesus because we were drunk on sin. And he forgave us anyway. We don't deserve to be forgiven. But that's why it's called grace. Because he gives us what we do not deserve. And in response, we need to be grateful for that kindness, for that grace, for that compassion. And as we've received that, then we need to pass that on. Because we are enjoying the grace of God. That should motivate us to share the grace of God with others. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:1, therefore, rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. The word good is the same word kind, because you have tasted the kindness of God through Jesus' sacrifice for you. Because we have tasted the goodness, the kindness, the compassion of God, we need to pass that on to others. We can't have malice and deceit and slander and envy. We have to let that go because we have tasted the Lord's kindness. Have you tasted the Lord's kindness? Have you experienced the Lord's kindness in your life? Are you allowing that kindness and compassion to continue to infiltrate your life? Allowing that to spread through you to others? Maybe we're not kind and compassionate to others because we've not yet grasped God's kindness and compassion. I mean, read the Gospels. See how Jesus dealt with people. Hear him communicate with the hurting. See his compassion and his kindness. That's how he treats us. That's how he cares for us. Eric Smallridge did not deserve the forgiveness of Renee Napier. He definitely did not deserve to be treated as a son. But that's exactly what has happened. We don't deserve to be forgiven. We don't deserve to be treated like a son, to be co-heirs with Christ. But that's exactly what Christ has done for us. And because of that, Christian, be kind and compassionate to one another, because you have already tasted the kindness of God. But maybe some here this morning haven't yet tasted the kindness of God. And so I say, come. He wants to welcome you. He wants you to experience Him because He loves you. He has already shown you kindness by dying on the cross. Will you accept that gift? That gift of forgiveness? The gift of the promise of heaven, if you will accept Him. Be immersed in the watery grave of baptism and raised to life with the promise of heaven. That's what we have. If you would like to receive that forgiveness today, won't you come as we stand and sing?